Turn again to the 15th chapter of Mark's Gospel. Read verses 15 through 21. And Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he discouraged him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him in purple, and they twisted the crown of thorns and put it on his head and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him on the head with a reed and spat on him, and bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, Jesus had been condemned to be crucified. Pilate had given in to the crowd. The soldiers had had their sport with Jesus. Now the trek to the skull-shaped hill called Calvary begins. Jesus is bearing his cross. A soldier walks in front of him carrying a board on which the crime of which he was supposedly guilty was posted. He carried it so everybody could see what the man was guilty of. Three other soldiers walk with him, and they take not the shortest route to the place of crucifixion, but the longest route. They want as many as possible to see what happens to anyone who comes against Roman authority and take warning. About the same time as this procession of death was beginning its march, a certain man, Simon by name, was setting out, perhaps from the home of a friend, headed toward Jerusalem. Simon had made a long journey from North Africa in modern Tripoli to be in Jerusalem for the holy time of Passover. Perhaps this was the fulfillment of a dream of a lifetime, to visit the city of his fathers on this high occasion. He would be full of eagerness and enthusiasm. He came upon a crowd coming out of the city. Curious as to what's taking place, Simon inquires and finds that this crowd is making its way to Calvary, where three criminals are to be put to death. Simon, we can imagine, had never been present at an execution. He joins the crowd and perhaps pushes his way through until he's close to the prisoners. As he comes near and observes, he sees that one of the prisoners is barely able to continue. He stumbles and falls under his cross. He gets to his feet, struggles on, and then falls again. And then Simon feels the tap on his shoulder as a Roman soldier taps him with the flat of his spear. And Simon knows what this means. He's been drafted to do whatever the soldier wants him to do. And he's told to take up the cross of this fallen one and carry it up Calvary's hill. Surely this is not happening. Why, he's here on a religious pilgrimage. He's come to worship the God of his fathers in the temple in Jerusalem. He's seeking to do God's will. Why is this happening? Can you imagine something of what Simon must have felt? Anger at the Romans. Anger at this prisoner who can't carry his own cross. Even anger at God for letting this happen to him. There's a sense in which what happened to Simon is unique in all of history. No one else has ever had to do exactly what he had to do on that occasion. And yet there's something about the experience that makes it a common happening to countless thousands. And in some ways, it becomes a universal experience. Let's look at it a little closer. First, we see that the best made plans are often radically change. You can imagine that for years Simon had dreamed and planned and worked and saved to make this once-in-a-lifetime trip. His plans come to fruition. Everything is in place. He even has a place to stay with a relative, a friend, just outside of Jerusalem. He makes this long trip from Cyrene to Jerusalem. Everything is perfect. His lifelong dream is coming true. Today he gets to worship in the temple at Passover. It's wonderful. But suddenly, in a moment, everything is changed. With the tap of the spear of the Roman soldier, Simon's plans are all radically changed. Instead of making his way on into the city and to the temple, he's carrying an old rugged cross up to the top of a skull-shaped hill. Now, something similar to this happens sooner or later to all of us. We make our plans. We have our dreams. Everything is going our way. And then suddenly, something happens and everything has changed. You've had it happen to you. I remember one day so well. It was the 27th day of November, 1973. Winnedale and I had planned for some time to go to an enrichment conference at Camp Sumatonga, a conference for ministers and spouses to go and to be refreshed and renewed and instructed and have fellowship and just be blessed and rejuvenated. We look forward to a few days away from home and church to rest and relax and grow. The day finally arrived and we packed up and went up to Camp Sumatonga. We greeted a few people when we got there and then went to register. And we were told there had been an emergency back home, and I was to make a phone call to Mr. Clyde Westbrook. And I made the call and found out about an accident that happened that morning. And my dad, in trying to save an old mule, had flipped the tractor over and killed himself. In a moment, all unexpectedly, all of our plans were changed. It happens. It happened to Simon. It happens to us. It happened so tragically to some people in our own family this past week, our church family. It's almost sure to happen to everyone sooner or later. You plan. You dream, and then all your plans are changed, radically changed. And not only were Simon's plans changed, he was forced to go a different direction and do something totally different from what he had chosen to do. He was coming from the country into the city. He was headed with excitement and eagerness and anticipation to the temple to worship God. But in a moment, he's turned around, pointed in the opposite direction, and forced to do what he did not want to do, to go where he did not want to go. And this too is an almost universal experience. When our plans are changed by outside circumstance, and we are forced to go in the direction which we would never have chosen. Really no need to illustrate this. You've experienced it. But on that day when Winnedale and I got to Sumatonga and found out that Dad had been killed, not only were our plans immediately changed, we were forced to go in a different direction. A direction not of our choosing. A direction that we did not want to go, would never have chosen to go. A third thing was true of Simon, is sooner or later true with most of us. He had his plans changed. He was forced to go away. He did not want to go. And he was compelled to carry a burden not his own. This cross, this heavy cross, not a beautiful golden thing on an altar, but truly an old rugged cross that had crushed Jesus to the ground. That was none of his affair. He surely would not have chosen to carry such a load up a hill. But now he has no choice. He was forced to carry a burden not his own and not of his own choosing. This heavy load was a tormenting burden to be borne. And this too happens to us. It happened to me on the day, well, not on the day of my dad's death, but the day after his funeral. My sisters all lived out of state, and they gathered in our living room with my mother and myself, and they immediately looked to me and said, "You take over. It's your responsibility. You take care of Mother. You settle the estate." Now, I didn't want any part of that. But I really had no choice. The experience of Simon, so very unique in that no one else has ever had to do exactly what he did, is also largely universal. Sooner or later, we all make wonderful plans, have beautiful dreams, and then our plans are radically changed. And we are forced to go in a different direction, a direction not our choosing. And we are forced to carry a burden not of our own making. It's life. But the most important thing I believe we see here is Simon's reaction to all of this. This is the question of supreme importance. You see, what is important is not what life does to us. That's not what matters most. What matters most is our reaction to what life does to us. How did Simon react to this unwelcome experience? We don't know for sure. At first, you can imagine there was a measure of fear, anger, and resentment. If you are living in an occupied land, occupied by a foreign government, and one of the soldiers chooses you for a task, and you don't know what the task is going to be for a moment, there's certain to be a measure of fear. But surely Simon was also angry that his plans were interrupted and canceled, and he was having to go away. He didn't want to go and bear a burden that he didn't want to bear. Probably angry at himself for turning aside to see what was going on. Surely angry at the soldier who selected him. Maybe angry at the prisoner who was not able to carry his own cross. Maybe even angry at God for allowing this to happen. If he'd only continued into the city, not gotten sidetracked, perhaps this wouldn't have happened. So as Simon shoulders the cross, it's not its weight alone that causes his face to burn. There's also anger and resentment. But there's also good reason to believe that something happened to change Simon that day. Something happened to put out the hot fires of his anger. We have to believe this in in words and looks or actions from Jesus that Simon and his world was changed forever as he carried the burden up Calvary's hill. We believe this because Mark refers to Simon as the father of Alexander and Rufus. Now, the only reason he would so identify Simon as the father of Alexander and Rufus is that these two were known, perhaps well known, in the early church. Interestingly, in Romans 16:13, Paul writes, "Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Salute Rufus and his mother and mine." Rufus was so choice a Christian that he was chosen in the Lord, Paul said. The mother of Rufus was so dear to Paul that he could call her his own mother. Then in Acts 13:1, there's a list of the men of Antioch who sent Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. The same Barnabas that Michael was talking about this morning. Paul and Barnabas were going out on missionary journey, and one of those who commissioned was a man named Simon. Not a common name, but we like to believe this is the same Simon who carried the cross, and his life was so changed that he became a leader in the early church. An instrument in sending out Paul on his missionary journey, and such a husband and father that his wife and son were leaders in the early church also. Sort of fascinating to think that we may be Christian today because of the change in Simon as he carried the cross to Calvary and stayed there for the crucifixion. Simon took life's unexpected interruptions and allowed Jesus to totally change his life forever. How will you and I react to life's unexpected interruptions of our plans and having to bear burdens not of our own choosing? You see, the interruptions will come. They will come. We will have to go in ways that we have not planned, in directions that we did not want to go. We will have to bear burdens not of our own making, of our own choosing. What would be our reaction? Well, we can react with fear, anger, and resentment. If we do this, our lives will become bitter and ugly and largely over. We will not be pleasant company. Not for ourselves. Not for anyone else. Such a contrast in how people react to problems. I visited a couple of widows this week. Both of them health not too good anymore. Years mounting up. And one of them, all doom and gloom and everything bad. And you wanted to get away just as quick as you could and not go back again until you felt like you had to. The other shared with me a new discovery of his. He'd found electronic books. Pulled out this little bitty electronic pad. Said, "You can put over 200 books in this." And he shared with me some of the old books he was reading. He got me a bag of potassio nuts. I'm ready to go back to see him tomorrow, you know. Both of them have very similar problems. One of them is miserable. The other's alive. You see, we can look to Jesus. We may not understand why certain things happen. We won't understand why all things happen. But we can offer ourselves, even in our disappointments, our confusion, and our fear, we can offer ourselves to Jesus. And He can take all of our unexpected interruptions and all of the burdens that are placed upon us. He can take it into the total picture of life and weave it together for our good and His glory. If we offer all things to Jesus, we will remain at peace with joy in the midst of tears, and we will grow and be effective in living and know life and victory. Has your life been interrupted? You've had to change your direction and go in ways not of your choosing, carrying burdens not of your making. Well, I invite you tonight to bring it all to Jesus, and He'll make something beautiful and something good out of it all, and your life will be blessed. Lord Jesus, we do thank You tonight that You at work in all things for good to those who love You. Increase our faith. Help us to believe and to live in victory with You as You make something beautiful, something good of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.